Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, welcome everybody. Welcome everybody to another edition of the Dave and G-Ski Show.
Well, I'd actually, like it's the G-Ski and Dave. G-Ski and Dave is better, probably.
Nah, I like it the other way around.
All right.
I am, of course, the hip-hop conservative G-Ski Rocks in the house, and then I have my homie, I call him White Bread. Ask David Graham, the author of Stay Mad. And what's the name of the other one?
Reality is not optional.
Yes. He is the man. He is the man. So we're going to be kicking it. We're going to be talking politics and a whole lot of stuff today. But before we do that, if you want to call in, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. Once again, that is 516-387-1705. If you want to call in and hang out with us for a little while, you're welcome to do that and all that. So I want to welcome everybody. And thank you.
Yeah,
everybody.
You can call in and you can offer some comments if you'd like to.
Yeah, of course. Of course. That is always welcome. So that's it. Pretty soon we're going to have the website up, and you can click directly onto the website to get in touch and listen to the program. I'm still working on that, so that's coming soon. And, we're just going to do our thing.
Yeah, there's no need to deprive everybody of G-Ski and Dave until the website's up. We can still hang out with you.
That's right. And just to let you know, the website will be www.airwavesamerica, airwaves, W-A-V-E-S, America. .com. So you'll be able to check us out there, and then also you'll be able to email us there. You can email me at gski@airwavesamerica.com, and you'll be able to email Dave at dave@airwavesamerica.com. So if you want
cool.
to drop us an email, yeah, you want
I didn't
to drop
even know
us
that.
An email. Oh yeah. Yeah, I got that all set up, so we're good. We're good. So, what
awesome.
Do we have on the agenda for today, Dave?
So, it's up to me? Okay. The last time I just ran right smash into the wall of the end of the show last week. And while I was reading, the Blog Talk jingle came on. Blog Talk Radio. And I'm like, oh, I guess we're done. Something had happened to your connection, so you had dropped off like probably about 20 seconds before the end of the show for some reason. And so I was like, oh, did I lose you again? All right, well, I'm gonna keep reading, And then the jingle goes off, and I said, okay. But last week we were going through. We talked about a few different things. We talked about fraud. We talked about all the different voter fraud things. And I found an article from the Federalist that I might want to actually touch on to just kind of close that loop, because it's about the whole last gasp In other words, the Supreme Court has finally decided to not ever take the very last case that the Trump administration had brought regarding, you know, like we talked about, before you even get to, you know, illegals voting or truckloads of ballots being, you know, brought to wherever they need to be brought, or before you even get to reams of ballots without any folds in them or perfect circle, you know, votes that are colored in by a computer, before you even get to any of those things, it's the votes that were counted under the new agreements made by the secretaries of state. And we, you know, we talked about the George Soros Secretary of State project. And if those votes were counted outside of existing law, they were counted outside of the law that the state legislature had made for voting in those states. And that's the issue that is black and white, cut and dry. You know, these were counted unconstitutionally. All those votes that would not have been counted were counted because they allowed no signature match. They allowed no postmark, or they wanted to accept ballots 10 days after the election day. And the Federalists kind of accumulated all of those into one article, saying, you know, that's the last gasp you know, any hope of the Supreme Court doing anything with these things. So the Supreme Court has gone the way of the Dred Scott Supreme Court, or the Korematsu Supreme Court, or the Plessy v. Ferguson Supreme Court. You know what I mean? Where yes, it's the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court is made up of people who are, you know, they're not perfect, and they're not the end all, and they make mistakes, and they make wrong decisions. And not taking these cases is really, I don't know. It's just really kind of, it should be embarrassing for them, but I don't know that they are. Anyways, that's like a recap of the last week thing. And like I said, I may want to touch on the Federalist article. We then kind of moved into the cancel culture, where I started in my first book called Stay Mad, Observations of a Proletarian. In the communist chapter, the current 45 goals, back in, I think it was 1968, there was a book that was written called The Naked Communist by Klaus Skion. Something like that. I did it again. Cleon Skousen. That's the guy's name. I was close. Cleon Skousen. And in that book, you know, he had researched what... You all right?
Don't mind me.
Okay.
Just to let everybody know right now, I'm currently on my dialysis machine, so... You'll randomly hear sounds. And
okay.
Stuff.
Well, in which case, I will randomly check in with you to see if you're okay.
Okay. Continue
anyway,
on, sir.
All right. Thank you. The in that book was a list of these 45 goals of how communism could take over the West. And I had made it up to, because I started reading faster towards the end of the show, I maybe made it into the 30s. But I'll bounce back a little bit just to bring everybody up to date. This is the I'll go back to number 20, and the one of the goals was to infiltrate the press and get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy and policy making decisions. Can you see if that's happened at all?
Yeah, I mean, just look at recently with Dr. Seuss and everything else like that.
That's right. Number 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. What about that?
Oh, you can see that too. And
we were even talking last week that you see agenda in ads.
Yes, you do, indeed.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to get a lot more dangerous with the passing of Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, I agree. Because he not that he was able to keep it in check, but he saw it coming a mile away, and he would call it out even before. You know, he says, "You think I'm kidding, but you know, you guess what? This is what's going to happen." You know, a couple of months later, it's like,
right, exactly.
Holy crap. This is exactly what he said, yeah. All right, so let me just move on. Number 22, listen to this one. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. That's a goal. And then in the book, there was an excerpt that says, an American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings and then substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. That's kind of what modern art is. Oh, it's beautiful. Well, no, it's a piece of crap.
Right.
The other one was control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, and meaningless art. And that's when I told the story about my dad going to the art museum with my wife and my two small kids. And they were looking at an abstract painting. And then he asked my oldest son, he says, yeah, he's like 9 years old. He's like, they're looking at the painting. He says, you know what this is? And then Mason, he looked up at him, and he's, you know, he's trying to figure out, is this a rhetorical question or not? You know, he said, that's crap. That's what that is. Right. So number 24 is eliminating all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship. And it's a violation of free speech and free press. I think we're well beyond some of these at this point, especially that one, because, you know, we don't have free speech and free press anymore. So
right.
We're a little bit beyond that one. No one can argue, hey, I want to promote obscenities and I don't want to be censored. That's out the window. Here we go. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Okay.
Yep.
Got it. Yep. They didn't have the internet back then, but hey, we're right on track, right? Number 26.
Yeah.
Number 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And healthy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that, you can go to any show, any television show, a sitcom, a drama, whatever you want, and most of the time movies too, and there is a homosexual in that sitcom or movie or whatever. It's
yeah,
in
one,
every
one form or another,
show.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, every doggone show.
Well, at the time I wrote this book back in, 2010, I think? Yeah, 2010. Anyways, at the time, the examples I used was Will and Grace and Two and a Half Men.
Yep.
So that covers all of that. Homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity. All right, so number 27 was infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with quote-unquote social religion. And then also discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a quote-unquote religious crutch. Intellectual maturity.
Oh, yeah.
So in other words, if you still believe in God and Jesus and all the gospel, that's a religious crutch. You need intellectual maturity. So in other words, you're not smart enough. Number 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principles of separation of church and state. There's actually a lot to say about that, but I think that we'll have to do that in another show. So make a note, G-Ski, separation of church and state. That's all I need.
Noted.
To get me back to talk about that. All right. Number 29, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, and out of step with modern needs, and a hindrance to the cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. But it's also the wave break between from the worldwide government that they want to put in there. The Constitution is the only thing standing in the way of world government. I figured that out. That's the only thing. The U.S. Constitution is the only thing. Because like Britain, they don't even have a constitution. They just have, you know, precedent. You know what I mean? As far as stuff goes. If they want a law, they'll write a law. At least the Constitution sets the guidelines about the laws that can be written, and you can't legislate over the Constitution. So that's a good thing. So they call it a living, breathing document. And you mentioned that last week. But in the sense, I'll agree to that statement in the sense that the Constitution can be amended. That's the only degree to which it's living and breathing. It's not up to interpretation of individuals like judges or legislators. You know, it's not up to that. That's a high bar. A constitutional amendment is a high bar. So,
but we are slowly letting courts legislate from the bench, which is something we really do have to stop.
Can I say that another way?
Sure.
They are getting away with legislating from the bench. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, they're doing it and no one's stopping them. And that's the only reason it's being done.
Right.
And you brought up Rush Limbaugh a few minutes ago. And one of the things that he said... I'm trying to think. It actually came up on the Legacy Show because I'm driving. I'm delivering mail, so that's the time that I'm out there doing that. So I, you know, that's probably the best thing on. So I think it was in the Undeniable Truths of Life or something. It was in a book that he wrote, and he just wrote the Undeniable Truths of Life or something. And one of them was, in any engagement, the aggressor sets the rules. And that right now is Democrats, because the Republicans have no balls at all.
None.
And they're getting rolled by Democrats who are setting the rules, because they're just insisting on it. Now, in defense of that, well, all right, there's no defense of it, but they have the media by hook or by crook or by, you know, however, They have the media that will back them up 700-900%.
Yes.
So that's why they're getting away with it, because no one, the media is supposed to be calling people out. The media is supposed to be, you know, truth to power and all that. The media is going right along with it.
And this, right on, this, right.
Yep.
Yeah, hand in hand. They're walking together.
So number 30 on this list is discredit the American founding fathers and present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man, quote unquote. What they've done, okay, this was written in 68. Okay, that's fine. But what that, to me, what that has morphed into, you'll probably agree, is now they're just like slaveholders, and they were too rich to have come up with a document that would address the needs of all.
You took that right out of my brain.
Yeah. Well, that's how that one, number 30, that's how the accomplishment of that one has manifested. And now, you know, and this kind of bothers me a little bit, but I got to tell him. The kid that I mentioned last week that I work with, even today, there's a guy that comes in. He kind of reminds me of you. He's been with the post office probably 50 years. I don't know, maybe 30. But he's a black guy. He comes and he knows a lot of history. He's a conservative, and you know, he's a great guy. He kind of pisses me off because he comes in and brags about how much the cleaning job he makes, you know, but he doesn't really ever do it. So, but anyway, he's a good guy. he's really a good guy. So today we were talking about, you know, wow, you know, I can remember in school when we actually sang patriotic songs. And you know, everyone used to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, this one kid, he's like 32 or 3. And he was kind of rolling his eyes. And he's like, yeah, that's kind of a dear leader thing, you know. And I was like, oh, man. You know, the low regard that he holds this bountiful country, you know, that we all live in. It's disturbing. It really is, you know. So, you know,
yeah,
it's like one of those things. Even today, he was just kind of like, you know, meh.
And
but
there's,
he doesn't, what,
I mean,
it's the critical theory that he spouts without even realizing he's caught up in spouting critical theory. You know? And that's the whole goal of critical theory, because it's part of the culture now. You know, it's part of the culture. To criticize the country that you live in. Okay, can you name a better one? Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I was watching on TikTok, somebody was talking about, you know, the United States is a horrible country. Oh, can you name a better one? And they were like, well, you know, maybe some of the Slavic or European countries, like Bernie Sanders always talks about, you know, better countries over there for socialism. He says, you mean the ones, the guy that's doing the interview there, he says, you mean the ones that are like 98% white? And she's like, she does that nothing. So, all right, here we go. So there we go. Number 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of, quote-unquote, the big picture, and but give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over. That's actually a goal. Nice. Number 32, support any socialist movement to give centralized power over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. So, number 33, eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. That's when I wrote, I said, if you trace back the political correctness movement, it was installed to accomplish this one without laws, Congress, or legislation, using public opinion or mostly perceived public opinion through using editing, ridicule, and influence peddling. Boy, I was pretty smart. I wrote all that. Nice. Here we go. Number 34, eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. That's the one. McCarthy, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? What was his name, his first name? It was McCarthy, though.
Yeah, McCarthy. I think it was John.
That's not rolling off the tongue. I don't think it's John. But anyways, it was abolished back in 75, you know, and as a matter of fact, I'd like to bring this one back. Number 35, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I don't know about that one, but they kind of discredited themselves in the last 4 years, don't you think?
Oh yeah. Most definitely. And it was Joseph, by the way. Joseph McCarthy.
And what did you say? It was John? Joseph.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. All right. So number 36 is to infiltrate and gain control of more unions. I think that's pretty much done. They get unions because the unions are like a beehive, you know? Of all the little workers, that if you need somebody to go out, you know, and you need a lot of people to go out and make a ruckus, you tell your union folks to do that and make protests. You know? Infiltrate and gain control of big business. I didn't get to this one last week, so this is kind of new to me. For you know. But what about Facebook and Twitter? Ding, ding, ding.
That's probably about as big as you can go. You know, Facebook and Twitter, that's the main way to communicate.
I know. Dude, you are absolutely going to not believe this one. Are you familiar with the you know, some of the push to like defund the police?
Yeah.
Okay, and where is that funding gonna go? You tell me. What did they say that they wanted to do with that funding that they took away from the police? They're not taking it out of law enforcement, but they're just taking it away from the police. And where are they gonna redirect that? Do you have any idea?
Like Black Lives Matter and stuff like that.
Well, social workers, so that the police don't have to be bothered with like domestic disputes or things like that, right?
Right.
Am I off base on that, or is that something that you recall hearing?
You're right there. Yeah. Yes.
Number 38. What year was this written? 1968-ish? Number 38. You're not going to believe this. I can't even read it. I can't even say it. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Wait. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat.
Oh, wow.
I haven't read that one in a while. Holy shit.
Oh, wow. And you said this was 1968?
I'll look it up right now. Hold on. It's
I mean that's exactly what's going on right now.
Okay, it was read on the I don't have the it was written before that. It was written before that. Did I mention it was written before that? It was read on the House of Representatives floor by Honorable A.S. Herlong Jr. of Florida in the House of Representatives, Thursday, January 10th, 1963. That's when it was read on the House floor.
Wow. Wow.
So it was written before that.
Holy moly.
Can I just, you think I should hit that one again?
Yeah, hit it again.
Number 38 of the 45 current communist goals. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies, period. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat.
Yeah,
well,
that's crazy. Because you know,
that's that. That is that. That is exactly what that is.
Yeah. You know, they tried to implement something like that in Ferguson.
I knew they did it someplace. I thought it was in New York, but Ferguson?
Yeah, they tried Ferguson after the Michael Brown. Well, I mean, it was recent, but, you know, after the whole Michael Brown thing.
Yeah, yep. What happened?
You know what? I don't know. I think it was shot down, but I would have to go back and check. And they also tried it in
in Portland or Seattle or one of them crazy towns up there. I thought they were trying it up there.
They may have.
And now they're looking to refund the police because the crime rate has spiked.
Right. Ooh, excuse me.
Ooh, bless you. All right.
Continue
so moving on.
On
number 39. And this kind of goes with the last one. Dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. All of us Trump supporters and insurrectionists are a danger. Did you know that, by the way?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Well aware.
Okay. We can you imagine, just think for a second, this hit me today, right? Around the Capitol in D.C., in our nation's capital, is the chain link fence with concertina wire top. If Trump were president, how big of a thing would that be? You see what I'm saying? Would they not be all over it?
Yes, they would. They would be all over that one.
All right, number 40. This is fun. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce.
Yeah, I see that. I do.
All right, this is an awesome one. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to the suppressive influence of parents. I'm going to have to read that again. Okay, so I got this one. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Okay, so that's one sentence with a chunk in it. There's the chunk in that is that the influence of parents is presupposed to be negative because they just want access to the children's minds. Okay, got it. All right, but this next one, sometimes, things hit you, and then you read it years later and it hits different. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to the suppressive influence of parents. So if your kid is retarded, it's because of you. It's because of your backwards ass thinking that doesn't support communism. Holy ass. Oh my gosh.
Now you know we're going to get in trouble for saying retarded.
I'm reading, so I can back that one up.
Okay.
All right. To the suppressive influence of parents. Parents are suppressive.
Yes, they are.
I'm free, and I want to be free.
That's a good one, man.
Look, you don't own me. I'm not.
Oh, good Lord. You're going to have to forgive us, everybody. Dave can't stop laughing. And when he can't stop laughing, I can't stop laughing.
Okay. Yeah. You said I had an infectious laugh years ago. I don't know if I still do it.
Yes, you still right. do. You still All do, right. sir.
It has either something to do with... never mind. Number 42. I'm just pre-screening this one because it's important and it's relevant and it's could have been written today or yesterday probably. Create the impression. These are goals. So they phrase things like create the impression, not make happen necessarily, but create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition.
Holy crap.
No, wait. That students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, or social problems. That's the whole thing. There was a semicolon. Okay, create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, semicolon, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use, quote-unquote, united force to solve economic, political, or social problems.
That's exactly what's going on right now.
Yep. I'm on number 43, so we have like two or three more to go here. Number 43, overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. Overthrow all colonial governments before native populations. Okay, so that's written probably back in the 50s, so they were expanding. All right. Whatever. Number 44, internationalize the Panama Canal. Well, I would say talk to China.
Uh-huh.
Because China owns it, I think. All right, so number 45. So this is the last one. Repeal the Connolly Reservation so the United States cannot prevent the World Court from seizing jurisdiction over domestic problems. In other words, give the World Court jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike.
Yes.
So there's some brackets in there, and let me break those out. It says repeal the Connolly Reservation. So the United States cannot prevent the World Court from seizing jurisdictions over nations and individuals alike. The brackets said over domestic problems and give the world court jurisdiction.
Do you really want to do that?
Yeah. Okay, hold on a second, because I'm looking at something here, and I don't know why. This is an excerpt from the book called The Naked Communist by Cleon...
Go ahead.
That's right. By Cleon Skousen, and then it says 1913 to 2006. I'm not sure if that's... If it was written in 1913, that would be even more remarkable. But I'll get into some of that other stuff. That completes the list of goals that they had. He wrote in the book, the biggest mistake of the West has been allowing itself to drift into a state of mental stagnation, apathy, and inaction. In some circles, motivations of patriotism, loyalty, and the traditional dream of freedom for all men have been lying dormant and have been paralyzed by a new kind of strange thinking. Authorities say there is an urgent need for revolutionary change in our state of mind. What's wrong with our state of mind? First and foremost, we have been thinking the way the communists want us to think. Our founding fathers would be alarmed to learn how confused many of our people have become over such fundamental problems as coexistence, disarmament, free trade, and the United Nations, the recognition of Red China, and a host of related problems. Instead of maintaining a state of intellectual vigilance, we have taken communist slogans as the major premises for too many of our conclusions. Well, Cleon Skousen was pretty much right on.
Way ahead of his time. Way ahead of his time. Yeah, that was...
Yeah, his I was just looking at a thing that I wrote as comments at it. We like to brag, you know, because of Ronald Reagan, that we won the Cold War with the Russians. And the Russians are thinking, okay, you guys won that round. You can win,
yeah.
But it's not forever. So.
Right.
Well, that takes care of the goals, the 45 goals. Do you want to put anything else in there? Or?
All of those goals are what's happening right now. All of that's happening right now, right before our eyes. It's amazing that he was so far ahead.
Well, here's the thing, Jeezy. You and I are the only ones who know that right now.
Well, our posse knows now. Our posse knows now. The Airwaves America posse.
Yeah.
So... We have to build our posse up. But
that's all right. We build it, they will come.
Yes, build it, they will come. And I just have to say this real quick. Thanks to Sue from New Mexico. You always got to shout her out because she helps
absolutely.
Out a lot.
I meant to ask you. Have you heard from her since last we talked?
Yeah. She's listening right now.
Oh,
yeah, she's listening right now.
Well, then, hey,
now.
Sue. I don't have a screen that shows who's on. But hey, Susie. Hi. Maybe she'll call in.
Yeah,
can
she
chat.
Can.
We can
yeah,
chat.
She's here.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
So it's all gravy.
Yeah.
And I want to... go back to the whole voting thing because it's really irritating me.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot going on here in Georgia. you know, our General Assembly, they're trying to pass some new voting laws, and our General Assembly is Republican heavy, so they have the advantage, and you know, so they can get some of this stuff passed, and it looks like the bills that they have up are probably more than likely going to pass. And
well, what are they? Are they like going back to we want IDs, we want all, none of
yes.
this other crap? Okay.
Yeah, one of them is if you're going to request an absentee ballot, you have to make sure that your license or your government-issued ID number is on that. And also, I think it's no longer no excuse. You could just request it because you want to request it. There's stipulations, you know, the old that can't get out and stuff like that.
Well,
so
awesome.
there's a lot of stuff that they're trying to put forward, and like I said, it looks like it's going to pass, but you have a ton of people talking about how it's going to affect minorities, poor, and minorities, poor.
And children,
and,
right? Children. That's what it always is. Oh, women. That's what the other one must be, women. Minorities,
yeah,
poor.
Yeah, which, like I said, it irritates me to my soul because they never say why. Why is this going to affect? Or how is this going to affect? They never say that. They just say it's going to. And because they say it's going to, they want you to believe that.
Right.
And that irritates me to my soul.
Well, that's like I was saying last week, you know, you're too stupid to be able to get an ID. That's why voter ID is racist. You're too stupid to vote on the voting day because that's racist not to have, you know, a mail-in voting. You know what I mean? That was all.
Right. Yeah. And one of the other things that is in these bills is they're going to eliminate the cost of getting a license or a government issued ID. Eliminate the cost for certain people. I mean, it's already free for veterans. And I think it's already free for senior citizens, and it's another group. I think the people that are poor, I think they're going to eliminate the cost for them, because right now it's $32 to get a license or a government issue ID, and they're going to eliminate that cost. So that's one of the things. And and like I said, that X's out their argument that it's going to affect the poor. So, you know.
Right. Well, they'll still scream and you know, scream and rant and rave.
Yeah. And see, they have right now, they have this lady. She ran for governor here in Georgia. And, I mean, she lost. But Stacey Abrams, and they give her a lot of credit, which that credit's not due. But they give her a lot of credit because she was black, and
yeah.
You know, she was one of the first. She was black, and she was a woman, and she was running for governor in Georgia, and I guess she did okay. She didn't win, but she did okay. Because a lot of people that didn't vote before had came out just to vote for her. I remember standing in line. I remember standing in the line waiting to vote. And there were four females in front of me. They were friends and everything. And they were talking about how they're getting ready to vote. And there was a lady. She was 62 years old. And she said she had never voted in her life.
Wow.
But because Stacey Abrams was running, this is a black female, she now decided that she was going to vote. But she didn't get to vote that day because she was in the wrong polling place. She wasn't even in the right county. And she knew that, but she decided to stay there anyway. There were two of them amongst the four women that were there that were in the wrong counties, but they figured, hey, my friend is voting here, so they should let me vote here too. But they were in the wrong counties, and they weren't allowed to vote because they were in the wrong counties. And like I said, I know for a fact that one of them, she knew, and she even said where she normally votes, but she decided to come to our polling place because she was with her friends.
So my son just came in and he brought me down the book, The Naked Communist. He had it in his room. He said it made him sick. Anyways, sorry. He just came in. That's why I couldn't find it. He had it. I didn't know. I didn't remember that you had it, yeah. But anyways, so he knows.
That's a good thing. Now, how old is he?
He's 19.
Oh, so he's a voting guy.
Well, yeah, he voted this last time for the first time, along with my oldest son. He's 20. We went down together and voted, and he registered, you know, at the site, and you know, we voted. We were supremely confident that day. And then the day went on.
Yeah.
Woke up the next day. What?
I really didn't sleep. I stayed up for most of that. I think I got maybe an hour's worth of sleep. But I was staying up just watching this thing unfold, and I watched it unfold in Georgia. I'm like, man, what in the world is going on? And it just blew my mind, because they always say if you win Ohio, then more than likely you're going to win as president. They say if you a lot of times they say if you can win Florida, more than likely you're going to be president. And guess who won both those states?
Yep.
But he didn't win the presidency. So, I mean, it's blown my mind. It's been that way for 40, 50 years. And
I know.
And all of a sudden, it changed.
Like I said, I think I said it last week, when Nancy Pelosi unequivocally guaranteed that Trump would not be president, and you know, before the election, like, how can they do that? And then Joe Biden's like, I don't need you to help me get elected. I need you to help me after I get elected. What? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Excuse me. What? Why would you even say that? Why would you say that?
Yeah.
So here's the head. Here's the headline.
They know
something. Right. That's exactly what I started, you know, I put it in the back of my mind, and it didn't come out until the morning of the day after, you know, and it was like, oh, that's what they meant. here's the headline from the Federalist. It said, courts repeatedly refused to consider Trump's election claims on the merits. So in other words, and I knew this, you know, before this article, but they weren't looking at what was in the lawsuits. They were saying, oh, no, you're not the right person to be bringing this. You weren't harmed. Or, no, you forgot to dot that I or cross that T. Sorry, sorry. And all they were doing all that time was buying time to get Biden sworn in. Once he's sworn in, he's sworn in. You know, what are you going to do?
Right.
There's nothing else that can be done. All they were doing. And then, you know, like in the last couple of days about the Washington Post that was saying, oh, he was intimidating the election commission, wasn't it, down in Georgia? The Secretary of State calling them to find the fraud and you'll be a hero and all this and that. And now, miraculously, in her trash bin on her computer was a recording of the conversation that didn't really reveal that. But it was reported by every media outlet saying, we've confirmed this information from such and such. No, you didn't confirm it with anybody. But now it's too late. That's information beforehand that would have, you know, that would have helped. So that's the headline of this. Right. That's the headline of this thing. Said on Monday, I'm trying to think, what was the date of this? Date on it. On Monday, I think it was not this past Monday, but the Monday before, because I've bookmarked this for a little while. On Monday, without comment, the Supreme Court ended the last of the 2020 election cases, rejecting Trump v. Wisconsin Election Commission in a one-line order. It was a quiet ending to a tumultuous election season, but like a football game with a contentious call at the end, the debate over who really won will likely go on much longer. Then it goes into all the different things. There was a list of more than 80 cases, includes both the same cases that were appealed through various courts and many had no direct tie to the president's legal team or Republican Party. In reality, there were 28 unique cases filed across 6 contested states by President Trump or others on his behalf. 12 were in Pennsylvania, 6 in Georgia, 2 or 3 in each of the other states. What were they? One was Arizona. One was trying to think of what the other states were. Texas, Pennsylvania. Of course, there was also the lawsuit filed by the state of Texas against the state of Pennsylvania that had the potential to change the outcome. So let's call it 29. Okay, so when one state sues another state, that's Supreme Court automatically. And they were like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
So right. Okay, death by technicalities. First of all, okay, I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to go through this. Let's say, also, did 20,000 people vote who do not live in the state when Georgia's electoral votes were allotted by an approximately 12,000 margin to Biden? You were talking about this last week, right?
Yes.
Yes, we never learned the answers to those questions, nor even examined the evidence, because Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, was not a candidate for office, nor the election superintendent who conducted the election, and therefore, per state law, was not liable. That's their argument. Did you hear that?
Yes, yes. And
all right.
Like I said, it just pisses me off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not.
And like they said, the Supreme Court would not even hear them.
I know.
Not one bit.
Okay, so
and
here's another
main,
one.
And that's the main problem.
I know. In Michigan, this was the one alleging the state law was violated by the failure to allow access by observers and seeking to stop counting. That one was ruled moot since it was not filed until 4 p.m. on November 4th after votes were counted. The judge simultaneously relieved the Secretary of State of any responsibility for any wrongdoing because she had issued guidance requiring admission of credentialed challengers. So you're left with the memory of the video of the vote counters clapping as Republican observers were evicted and of covers being placed over the windows. The judge on this case also said Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson bore no legal responsibility for video monitoring of drop boxes. Sorry, I can't talk. Of drop boxes, nor of making video from such surveillance available, despite a recently passed law requiring surveillance of all drop boxes installed after October 1st.
Mm.
So in other words, they put drop boxes for ballots out, you know, they just willy-nilly out in the city, but they were supposed to have video surveillance on them so people couldn't just dump in reams and reams of ballots, which is probably what happened. So a lawsuit in Pennsylvania, Metcalf v. Wolf, claimed approximately 144,000 to 288,000 completed mail-in and or absentee ballots in Pennsylvania may have been illegal based on testimony from a U.S. Postal Service contractor. The contractor said he was hired to haul a truck of what he believed to be this many completed mail-in ballots from New York to Pennsylvania. The complaint also alleged that there was evidence of ballots that were backdated at a postal facility in Erie. So in other words, these are just kind of like going through all the different – how many of these anomalies – and I asked the same question that I asked earlier. How many of these anomalies would stand any scrutiny if Donald Trump was in office because of this? None.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they made up the Russian collusion thing. They made it out of whole cloth. They made that. They sewed it together with knitting needles. The Russian collusion thing. Right? And that wasn't even true. And then, you know, the first impeachment thing. No, the guy didn't feel intimidated. No. There was people on the people that were actually on the call said, you know, it wasn't this. But there were hearsay whistleblowers that said this. So they're going to impeach him.
Right. And you remember the main whistleblower didn't even hear the conversation.
That's
he
what
got
I'm saying.
It from somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
He was right. It was a hearsay whistleblower. That's what I said. Yeah. All right. So now we got in Wisconsin. That was Michigan. This is Wisconsin. The Trump v. Evers suit alleged violation of state election laws had occurred in Milwaukee and Dane counties as municipal clerks issued absentee ballots without the required written application. That they legally completed missing info on the ballots, that absentee ballots were wrongly cast by voters claiming indefinite confinement status and for which no ID was provided, and that Madison's Democracy in the Park event violated election laws.
Yes.
A divided Wisconsin Supreme Court refused to hear the lawsuit, sidestepping a decision on the merits of the claims and instead ruling the case must first wind its way through the lower courts, an effective death sentence given the timing. Well, that's what I was saying. They were every time they would find a way to put it off. No. You forgot to do this. No. You forgot to do that. No. You're not the right person to do this. No. Those people are, well, we have to wait and see. You're not affected by this, or you weren't the one running for office, so this doesn't count. Every excuse they made was simply to buy time until January 20th.
Yep. Yeah, and we even had some instances here in Georgia where, number one, they arrived after Election Day, and number two, they mm-hmm. didn't have the correct signatures on. They were allowed to come down there and and correct their mistakes, even though it arrived after the polls were already closed and they didn't have their signature on them. And they were allowed to correct their mistakes, and those ballots were counted.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I mentioned that, you know, one of the things on here is involves the 14th Amendment, where they were allowed to, quote unquote, cure ballots that, you know, if they didn't have the right information on the envelope or this and that, they would put it on there. But that was only done in Democratic areas. So the Republican areas didn't get that same level of looking out for or protection or whatever, which, you know, that's a violation of the 14th Amendment. Supreme Court, yeah, no, yeah, you got nothing. You know, that's where they were at.
Yeah, you are exactly correct. Yeah, the two main counties in here in Georgia, which are majority black, Fulton County and DeKalb County, those were the two counties that made the change, both in Trump's election and the two senators, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. Those were the last ones to kind of report, oh, we're waiting on these guys. We're waiting on the mail-in ballots to come in, and we'll see what happened. Right now, it's too close to call. We're waiting on these guys. And you've seen this massive shift once these mail-in ballots came in. And I mean, you can't.
It was a vertical spike when those mail-in ballots came.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. There's too much to swallow. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, how many Biden supporters would allow a vertical spike of Trump votes? You know what I mean? None of them.
We would be at war.
Right. So here's another poll quote from this article. This is a great article. I gave it to a couple of people. I just don't think they've read it. Absurdities, colon. Do you remember the whole Clinton, it depends on your definition of what is, right? You remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's the same thing here. Right. But it's the same thing here. When the word shall doesn't mean shall. In the court's decision, okay, where am I? In Pennsylvania, a state Supreme Court judge in Pennsylvania was tasked with reviewing the eligibility of 2,349 mail-in ballots that were purportedly defective according to the state election code. In the court's decision, he noted, quote, "We agree with the campaign's observation that the General Assembly set forth the requirements for how a qualified elector may cast a valid absentee or mail-in ballot. We further agree that these sections of the election code specifically provide that each voter shall fill out, date, and sign the declaration on the outside envelope. We do not agree with the campaign's contention, however, that because the General Assembly used the word shall in this context, it is of necessity that the directive is a mandatory one." I'm not sure. Did you follow that?
I got you.
In other words, the election code specifically says each voter shall fill out, date, and sign the declaration on the outside of the envelope.
Right.
But they were getting envelopes that weren't filled out, dated, and signed. So he just said, all he did was say, we don't agree with the campaign's contention, however, that just because the General Assembly used the word shall in this context, it is of necessity that the directive is a mandatory one. freaking believable. So why even write laws, it asks, this article. Perhaps the Pennsylvania Supreme Court would feel differently if their rulings were subjected to such an open interpretation. All right, touche, touche, as they say. What's this next one here? Federal lawsuit in the same state. Plaintiffs, so the judge. Well, I mean, we have covered a whole lot of these anomalies, quote unquote. And
yes,
you know, there's dozens and dozens of these things. All of which, all of which would count individually. If one of these things happened, and Trump won, had won, any one of these things would have been blown out of proportion. Would have been just blown up. Oh, he won because of this, or blah 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 blah. You know, or he shouldn't win because of this. He shouldn't win. You know what I mean? But now, you don't even get to talk about this. You don't even get to talk about this. Otherwise, you are inciting an insurrection.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, and yes. You are inciting an insurrection. And you are deemed crazy. Because all Trump supporters are crazy. Crazy and partially retarded.
By dint of supporting
Trump. Yep. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, it just irritates me to my soul. Because, I mean, here in Georgia, they have commercials. They have commercials, you know, stop the General Assembly from changing our voting laws. It's going to affect this person and that person and all this other stuff. So, I mean, they're constantly rotating while you're watching television. And it, like I said, it just irritates me to my soul because they don't say, how is this going to affect minorities, women, and poor? How? You tell me how. And like you said, we discussed this last week. They just think that we're stupid. That's what it is. We're stupid.
Well,
we're not
way
smart
I see
enough
it,
to do it.
Right. The minorities and women or whatever. Right. But here's the thing. The buddy of mine that I told you that I work with, who's a progressive, he thinks Black Lives Matter is about bringing awareness to people, to, you know, people of color. So, I had to fix that immediately. I mean, once in a while, I'd be like, okay, no. I said, these guys are Marxists, admittedly, self-admitted Marxists,
yes.
And they advocate for the overthrow of the United States government. So you think it's all about awareness of Black people or people of color. Good for you. You're wrong, because they don't give a crap about that.
Yeah.
They don't. They don't even give a... What they care about is Marxism and the overthrow of the United States government. Read their page. Go read it and come away with anything other than that.
Yeah.
But what you were saying earlier is, you know, the words that they use, you know, it affects, you know, minorities and, you know, blah, blah, blah. These are focus group tested, and this is a great segue into the other piece that I wanted to hit. I'm probably not going to finish this piece tonight either. But when they use a focus group to test out words and phrases, you sit there with a dial, and you turn it up as you feel your emotions rise. And then they look at the data and the graph of those of those, you know, dial readings, and they match it to when this word or phrase was spoken. Boy, that spiked everybody's emotions. So you need to include this word in that, in this concept. So this is all, these are all psychological games. You know, it's all very, very studiously examined on how people will react emotionally who aren't aware that we're trying to evoke emotions. I mean, there's a lot of key things there. First of all, yes, we're trying to evoke emotions. Second of all, we're trying to do it with people who are unaware that that's what we're trying to do. So you have the best shot. It's like the placebo effect. You know, if you think that, you know, this medicine is going to work, it'll work with some people. So that's where the Freud, intersection comes. And that kind of brings me to the whole critical theory aspect of why do they word things the way they do. I wrote about that in the book Reality Is Not Optional. I wrote, some of the greatest minds in the world have been put to use figuring out the most effective way to sell the idea of communism. In fact, as near as I can tell, it is simply an ideology designed to have total control over the greatest number of people as it can, almost like it's a game. Communism is like the game of life, only with mass numbers of people's lives. For decades, the research is being done was in how to manipulate the masses. With that, and that's a key phrase there. They looked into different types of advertising research to what different degrees of subtleties within the advertising and or repetition was conducted to see how far they could go and what they could get away with. Repetition, in a way, is like advertising. Repetition in the form of certain talking points or poll-tested phrases. That's what I was talking about, the focus groups, are the advertising used by politicians or whomever wants to push the communist agenda. This is basically PR, okay? So if you hire a PR firm, they will tell you the best way to paint you in the best light to the public. And that's what PR is. Okay, and then from there, when you put that technology of PR in some diabolical hands, which is the communists, in my opinion, they're going to use the technology of public relations to sell the idea of communism.
I'm with you.
So Marxism is a means and socialism is a means, but the end is the total control which communism provides.
Right.
So if you can imagine trained psychologists manipulating a person without their knowledge, just for the sheer joy or satisfaction of knowing that they are in control of that person. See that. You know what I mean? You can, like, on TV shows, spy thrillers or serial murder things. You know, they would do those things. Sick people that would just say things to control the person. They would figure out what the person's buttons are, and say things that would control them just because they want to be in control. So imagine that same thing. Only with entire populations, but the same motive.
Yes.
Well, imagine it no longer, because this is exactly what they've been doing from the Frankfurt School since 1922. The guy's name was Felix Weil, and he was a young Marxist who had written his PhD on the practical problems of implementing socialism, and was published by Karl Korsch. I have a footnote on that one. But in 1922, Weil gathered the greatest thinkers within the communist movement and organized a week-long event, or a symposium, or a what do you call those? The big gathering of all, what do you call it? I'm trying to think of the Comic-Con or what do you call those big things? A convention. That's what it is. The big convention. But there were people like George Lukacs and Karl Korsch and Karl August. I'm trying to read these names. Wittfogel, Frederick Pollock, these were all big, you know, big, heavy thinkers in the communist and Marxist world. So, Felix Weil, he took the lead. He was the keynote, apparently, and he worked it out with the Ministry of Education for the director of this newly hatched idea for an institute that would be a full, he would be a full professor right out of the state system. This way, the institute could boast university status. Felix Weil funded these efforts from his father's grain business, setting up salaries and buildings for a permanent institution. He was an orthodox Marxist, which means he looked at Marxism as methodical and controlled, like a grand experiment. So what better place to research and test experiments than at your very own university? So Felix Weil, his research was social and historical, focused mainly on the workers' movement. I know this is probably eye-glazing, but hang with me, really, because some dots are going to start to connect.
Right.
So George Lukacs, Karl Korsch, they had too much going on politically to join up with the Institute, but they stayed in touch with Korsch and contributed through publishing undertakings for a while. George Lukacs repudiated his writings under pressure from the Communist International. That's also known as the Comintern Congress. In 1923, History and Class Consciousness, that was his paper. And it was perhaps one of the major inspirations for the Frankfurt School. And Lukacs' denouncing of it illustrated that the Institute must operate independently from the Communist Party if the research and findings was to be genuine. So these people handled the history and research into class and workers. Within a decade, other researchers, other researchers injected another facet of thinking, the psychoanalysis. So now it's a cross-disciplinary research, which was impossible in the German academia system, but they could do it with this. And not only that, it was kind of they crystallized the idea. So Marxist theory took off in a whole new direction. So then you enter, these other names that I don't even know who they are. I wrote them down because that's who they were. And, you know, I don't want anybody coming back saying, okay, who are these guys? They were the first psychologists to join what could be called Hegelian materialism. So, you know, Hegel was one of them early Marxists. William Reich developed. So you really just got to buy the book. Anyways, just kidding. So the Frankfurt School grew until Adolf Hitler shut it down after the Nazi takeover of Germany. The communist philosophers somewhat disbanded, and most regrouped in the United States, concentrating in New York. In New York and attending themselves to a new institute affiliated with Columbia University. After the war, as it happens, the organization resumed in Frankfurt. Frankfurt's in Germany, by the way. Within the next two decades, the main ideology of the Frankfurt School was three generations hence, and heavy research and testing had been done, as well as teaching the philosophy independent of any political party in the 60s. France began a parallel study and interjected Freudian concepts. These new and improved ideas all spun off of the original Marxist theory and became known as critical theory.
Wow.
Ding, 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 ding.
The reason for founding the Frankfurt School. Okay, as I understand it, the period following the Bolshevik Revolution of Russia was supposed to affect a workers' revolution that should have swept across the globe, resulting in a glorious utopia of global communism. Oh! This didn't work, whatever. All right. So this struggle has been alive since the dawn of time within man's relationship to man. It is hardwired into some people's personalities to control others. These people are the alphas. They can't help themselves or stop themselves. The difference between alphas that lead and alphas that simply want to control is a matter of self-control. Nature selected the alphas to lead, but many aren't trained properly, in my opinion. Okay. That's my writing. Okay. So the tactics used. One of the theories developed by George Lukács was revolution and eros. This was the idea of using the, difficult to express, sexual instinct, but use it as a device for destruction in a society. After a while, this would make Western civilization absolutely stink. Another tactic was the attack on religion. This was necessary. This was a key thing. When I discovered this one, I was like, oh. Okay, so this was necessary because their research had showed them, and they taught this, that, quote, as long as an individual had the belief, or even the hope of belief, that his divine gift of reason could solve the problems facing society, then that society would never reach the state of hopelessness and alienation that they considered necessary to provoke socialist revolution. That is a quote. That is what they talked about. That's the way they talked about it. Can you believe that? That's amazing. I was blown away when I found that. I'm going to read it again because it's a teaching that as long as an individual had the belief or the hope of belief that his divine gift of reason could solve the problems facing society, then that society would never reach the state of hopelessness and alienation that they considered necessary to provoke socialist revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So they began the. I guess somebody's sending me a message here. Oh, it's Mitchell. Okay, my son. All right, so I'll get to that. So they began very quickly to submit every negative and destructive criticism they could think of regarding the Judeo-Christian ideology. And a constant barrage of this would then spread like a virus. Ding, 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 ding.
You know, a lot of that sounds like what they taught Barack Obama when he was at Columbia.
Well, if you take those classes, that's what they teach.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds a lot like Barack Obama, because I know he had several messages while he was a senator where he disputed what was in some of the stuff that was in the Bible. And I think I have some of those speeches. They're on my other computer, which, you know, I told you I got to get that computer up and running. But, yeah, I think probably next week or so I'll bring those up and play them for everybody to hear.
Well, like, we're still getting some.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Anyways,
continue, sir.
Those are the things that I, you know, a quiet cultural revolution emerged, but strangely, the weak-minded never asked what the end game was. And many still don't know. It's just always over the horizon or around the corner, or we're always on the verge of the implied utopia. So we never will see the end result. I remember doing a song of "Are We There Yet?" And it was actually Joe Biden doing a speech as vice president, you know, and all these things are just over the horizon. And then I kind of was, "Are we there yet?" You know, I forgot what the song was. I lost it in rebooting the thing.
I think I remember that.
Yeah,
it was a good one.
I might have it in my garage band things, now that I think about it. I just remember that's where I made it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I
may have it too.
Yeah. How much time we got left? 28 minutes. All right. All right. So taking a look at some of the more specific tactics and tenets, pure evil is what seeps out. In fact, if one were to step back and look at today's society and list some of the biggest problems with the United States, independent of the following, the list could probably be identical. Number one, these are things that they sat around, discussed, and came up with and wrote down as items that will help them achieve their, you know, socialist, communist revolution, takeover thing. You ready for number one?
I'm ready.
This is at the Frankfurt School, you would learn this, the creation of racism offenses. That's number one.
Wow.
The creation. In other words, you make them up. You know?
Right. This is insane.
Yeah. And I have Mitchell who's sitting behind me, and he said, so literally, that's falsified hate crimes.
Right. Oh, your son is sharp.
Oh, he's definitely sharp. All right, number two. He was talking to me about something he thought. He was dropping in, but he doesn't have a microphone, and I don't have a microphone for him. So I said, I gotta drop in because they can't hear you. I'm gonna continue on with. I'll get him a mic. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we might need to get another co-host here.
So here's the next one. This it bums me out. Number two, continual change to create confusion. Check. That's it. Number two. If everything is always constantly changing and in flux, everyone will always be confused. Well, think about the coronavirus. Think about that. How many different? I was talking to somebody you know, you have so much different information from so many different sources. Nobody knows what to friggin' believe.
Right. That's just about today. The CDC came out. I don't know if it went nationwide, but it was here in Georgia. The CDC came out and said that students in school can drop the social distance down to 3 feet.
3 feet. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I did hear that.
Yeah.
They can be 3 feet in school. Oh, thank you. What about Joe Biden saying that if everybody behaves, maybe we can have barbecues at 4th of July? Well, thank you. Thank
yeah.
you so much. Number three, the teaching of sex and homosexuality to children. Do they do that now, GT? They don't do that now, do they? Do they?
They do that.
Do they? I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Whoa. Yes? No?
They do that.
No. They do?
Absolutely.
They do.
Absolutely.
They teach about sex and homosexuality to children?
Yes.
But at high school age, right? When they go through puberty, they teach that, right? No.
Young kids.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you mean?
It's definitely going down to California, and then there are books available to kids as young as kindergarten. I can't remember the name of this book. It's like Susie Had Two Moms or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff is available to everybody. They've been doing that.
So, to me, if somebody has two moms, it's not their fault. You know what I mean? Whatever. And I don't care. You know, why you gotta smack me in the face with a baseball bat with it? You know, it's two moms. Oh, yeah, no, got it. I got it. None of my business.
Yep.
Number four. This is a goal. This is what they write and they teach, and this is what they discuss, and this is what they, you know, they sit in a circle and one person has like a legal pad and they just start writing these. Okay, that's a good one. We're gonna put that one down. Okay, that's got to make it into the curriculum, that concept right there. Number four, the undermining. The undermining of schools and teachers' authority.
Oh, yeah. That's going on, too. That's definitely going on. I mean, the number of videos that you see where students are trying to fight the teachers and all this other stuff, there's just no respect nowadays.
Teachers can't do anything. They're just like, okay, you want to fight? All right. Nothing that I can do. I'm not allowed to intervene. I'm not allowed to break up a fight,
yep.
You know, whatever it is. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Number five is particularly relevant this moment. Number five, I got to wait. You're not ready for this one, G-Ski. You're not ready for it.
I'm ready.
You're ready? All right. Are you doing like the butter, the churning butter thing? I'm ready. What do you call that thing? I forgot what the dance is. Churning the butter or whatever. All right. Five. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five words. And one of them is two, T-O. Five words. I can't even say it dramatically enough. Okay. Huge immigration to destroy identity. Boom. Oh, sorry.
Wow.
That's six words. It didn't really say boom. I added boom myself.
Wow. That's all I can say.
I mean, okay, thank you. Good night.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Good night.
Right. Okay, number six, the promotion of excessive drinking. I have to say that's working on me. So, anyways. Number seven, the emptying of churches. And this is, like I said, this was written back in 2012, so it would have been Obama's first term. Obamacare had dictated to Catholic organizations the requirement to provide women with free contraception. Very clever, as the mandate included two areas of infringement, the Catholic Church's First Amendment rights, and then contraception is totally against what the church teaches, and then the mandate to provide something for free. The church fought back, as they should, and the mandate was removed from the church and placed onto the insurance companies. Because that's only half as bad, right? That was number seven. Number eight. You're going to love number eight. Number eight is an unreliable legal. There's a guy sitting in the circle with a legal pad writing this down. I just want to keep that image. This is how diabolical it is. Number eight, an unreliable legal system with bias against victims of crime. Number eight, an unreliable legal system with bias against victims of crime.
Number nine is
dependency on the state or state benefits.
Oh, that's been going on for years. Yeah. Definitely.
Right, but you remember? Does the words the names Cloward and Piven mean anything to you?
Yes,
they better. We talked about them at length back in the day.
Yes, we did.
All right. So number 10, control and dumbing down of the media. Check.
Check.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty much done with that. Yeah. And then 11 was encouraging the breakdown of the family. So those are like 11 things that the guy came away from that circle, you know, they're all sitting around a circle discussing how to get this going and how to best, you know, arrive at what we want. The guy with a legal pad wrote these things down, 11 points.
Yep. And if you would have heard, you know, because Biden and Harris they were here in Georgia today. If you would have
what
heard
did they do
Biden,
today? Today where he fell up the stairs of the plane?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Because I saw like three or four TikToks of a guy golfing, and he smacked the ball, and then it would cut to him falling on the stairs, and when the golf ball hit him in the head, it was funny.
Yeah, he fell three times going up the stairs. It wasn't just once; it was three. Yeah, three times going up the stairs. But yeah, they came here originally. They came here to praise the CDC. But last Tuesday, we had a mass shooting, and it was at massage parlors. and the guy.
Where all the Oriental people got shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they came here to talk to the Asian community and all that stuff. But anyways, Biden gave a speech after he had his meeting with the Asian community, and it sounded like everything that you were just talking about. If you listen to his speech sounds like he was that guy sitting in the circle with the notepad.
That's pretty amazing. So the guy falling up the stairs to Air Force One three times.
He's falling up the stairs.
Is he the guy that would be in any condition to do a live televised debate with Vladimir Putin? Because Vladimir Putin has put the gauntlet down and said, yeah, you know, he thinks I'm a killer. That's fine. Takes one to know one. Let's debate it. Unfortunately, I have to give Vladimir Putin the point on that one. You know,
I'm with you on that one. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And you know, I find it weird that he travels with the vice president. So I think she's there, you know, to keep him steady and to keep him in line and everything else. And you know, they got the speechwriters and all that other stuff. So you know, they're keeping him straight and make him seem presidential where he's really not. He's crazy Uncle Joe that came out of the basement and just happened to win the presidency.
Okay.
He's the guy that likes to smell hair.
Right. I'm gonna go against you on why she's there. She's there in case he keels over.
That is true. I mean, that's another reason. Yeah, because I don't know. He doesn't. Well, I mean, he's crazy Uncle Joe, so he's never seen stable. But yeah, it seems like he's walking that line.
I don't think he's walking the line. I think he's crossed the line, and they're just not covering him.
I would agree with that. Yeah, but it seems that he travels with the vice president a lot, especially when they need him to speak and stuff like that. And I've seen several incidents where
they need someone to answer questions because he can't do it.
Right. Yeah, because I've seen several videos where he's somewhere, and the press is not allowed to ask questions because there's nobody else there to help him out. So they're not allowed to ask questions. They shuffle them cats out quick.
Yeah.
And don't allow him to answer any questions.
Well, it's though that I saw two or three times. And like TikTok is where I see the most recent stuff. I mean, people will put stuff right up on there, you know, immediately. It was like a gaggle of microphones in the foreground with the president coming forward. Mr. President, are you planning to visit the border? And he says, not at this time. The problem was his hand gestures kind of overlapped some of the microphones. And, you know, they got those wind screens on them and stuff. And they were green screened in. I'm like, what is
really?
This? yeah, where did this come from? What is this? Are we watching really? Are we watching Wag the Dog? Is that what we're watching?
Wow. Well,
I mean, a couple of different angles of that same thing. Now that I'm thinking about it, the windscreen microphones, his hand, where it should have been like behind the microphone, because of the perspective and the distance, his hand should, you know, when it intersected with where the microphone was, it should have been behind the microphone. His hand should have gone, but then it goes over that little windscreen, and it is the weirdest thing. I don't get it. Where did that video even come from? You know, he's saying, do you have plans, Mr. President, do you have plans to go to the border anytime? Not at this time. You know, was his answer. But when he said not at this time, his hand shot down, and it shot down. It should have been behind that windscreen microphone based on where the camera was. And I just don't get it. I just didn't get that one.
I'm going to have to check that out. You know, I jump on TikTok every now and again. I think I'm going to have to spend a little bit more time there.
But I'll send you a TikTok. I'll send it to you. All right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, do that. Because I spend a lot of time on Instagram. But I'm gonna have to definitely check that out. Have to check that out.
I mean, you know, a lot of it's nothing. I would say about half of TikTok is nothing. The other half is clever things, very clever things. And then, you know, there's a whole from based on videos that I've liked, you know, the algorithm sends me stuff to my page and stuff. And you know, there's a lot of stuff going on that they, you know, either they, I mean, they're just like Facebook and Twitter. You know, if you start going on and on about like voter fraud or something like that, they'll take your stuff down. But it'll be up for a little while, and sometimes you'll catch one or two things before they take it down.
Right. Yeah, you're going to have to shoot me some of that stuff.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, because that's your son again, huh?
Yeah, he's been behind me the whole time, talking in my ear.
Well, that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing.
He's gonna send me the little video that I was just mentioning, and I'll forward it to you.
Okay. Very good.
You're gonna be like, what?
Yeah, he does not do a lot of things where he takes questions. He doesn't do a lot at all. There's very few, and the few that he does do seems very much controlled.
Oh, I know.
And orchestrated. Yeah.
It's totally. Everything is scripted.
Yes. I kind of heard that, and I remember that.
Yeah. Well, he's not old enough to say Pepperidge Farm remembers. Pepperidge Farm remembers. You have to say it like that if you say it at all.
Right.
I'm not. I'm not in the spotlight. You get a microphone, you're in, buddy.
Pepperidge Farm, remember. There you go.
All right.
Now I'm done.
All right.
But yeah, the top of his head basically disappeared.
Look at that.
That's yeah,
totally
but that's
fake.
Okay, that's I'm not. All right. It wouldn't. No, it's washed out from the background. Okay, all right. Sorry. All right, so let me get back to my Frankfurt School stuff. This is all stuff from the Frankfurt School. How much time I got? 4 minutes? Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, we got four.
4 minutes. Never mind. Not enough time to be fair with another caller. Tell Sue I said hi. If she can't hear it herself.
I will do that.
And we should be wrapping this up. Anybody have any questions? Let's put it out to questions. Do you have a chat room open? Because I don't have a. I've never.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Anybody in it?
Yes, we have Bigfoot. Bigfoot's in the house.
What's up, Bigfoot? Thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Bigfoot used to hang out with us back in the days when we.
I vaguely remember it. Does he remember Anti-Commie?
More than likely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been how long has it been since we
like seven
the show?
Like seven.
Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. I've been through a lot.
Yeah, indeed. Yep.
Yeah, of course, doing dialysis right now, which I should be done in about 20 minutes. It's all good.
Yeah. And more power to you. I mean, beat it. I mean, kick it. Fight it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Do what
you
gotta do.
I'm doing pretty good. You know, every now and again, I get a little sick, but you know, it just comes with the territory, and I deal with it. But yeah, I'm pretty positive about everything that's going on and the direction that it's going right now. So
that's awesome.
And yeah, and the staff that I work with, you know, because I do it from home. Everything I do myself, I stick myself with the needles. You know, every month I have to draw blood and send it out. And just everything. I do everything myself. However, I do have a set of nurses that, you know, help me out when I got problems and stuff like that. If I get an alarm on a machine and I'm stumped about the alarm, and they'll help me fix that and stuff like that. So nurses that I work with are really, really good. And the main one that taught me everything that I do now, I mean, she's really good, and she doesn't play either. You know, if I'm falling down on a job, she'll tell me right then and there.
She don't take any of your crap, huh?
No, not at all. She don't get away with nothing. You know, like if I miss a treatment, she'll call me that next day. What happened? Why did you miss a treatment? And, you know, I got to come up with something. You know, but yeah,
I got nothing.
Yeah, she'll give me hell if I miss a treatment and I don't have a legitimate reason for it. Oh yeah, she'll give me hell.
Nice.
So yeah, I got some good people, and of course my family is really, really, really supportive and stuff like that. So we're good.
Well,
but,
I wish you obviously all the best, and I think I mentioned last time Nancy, who was listening to our last show a little bit, she heard your intro, and she wishes you all the best too. You know, as far as that goes, but I want to, you know, we got like a minute left, but I want to make sure that I really thank you for putting the show back together, and I can't help but noticing that you're giving me most of the time. So you've been so generous, and you know, thank you. I've been building stuff up that I'd love to talk about, and you know, I've kind of done the first couple of shows. kind of like was like a. So next week will be yours, you know.
Hey, we'll keep it rocking.
Well, I just want to know. I just wanted to let you know that I recognize you gave me most of the time these last two shows, but you
yeah.
and I thank you. So you know, it's stuff that I thought was important, stuff that I thought that people don't know that you know should know or be reminded of or whatever. And anyways, thank you everybody for listening.
Uh-oh.
Gotta go.
Bye bye. All right, it just cut off. All righty then. That was a good show. I loved it.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
We'll do it again.
Oh yeah. I'll talk to you sometime during this week.
All right. And then it'll depend on what happens probably between now and then. You know what we decide to discuss.
Okay.
All right.
All righty.
All right. Love to your family. Sharon says hi.
Okay. Same to you, buddy. Same to you.
All right.
And
rock
I'll
on, brother.
See you later. All right.
Take care.
Peace out.
See ya.